Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew, chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. This can be found on page 11 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Now, reading from Matthew, chapter 10, beginning at verse 40. Hear what the Spirit says to us, the church. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly, I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So what thoughts come to your mind when we say the word hospitality? Martha Stewart likes table settings? Or with Stampede coming, perhaps barbecue and Western apparel? In today's culture, hospitality involves a certain amount of entertaining and impressing. So today, let's put those thoughts aside, not because they're wrong, but because they don't help us to understand what Jesus was saying to his disciples about hospitality. The practice of hospitality developed as a response to the experience of God's hospitality. The words we read today were not an isolated teaching, but the end of Jesus' instructions to his disciples as he sent them out to proclaim the good news. It directly follows the passage that Reverend Frank spoke about last week. And if you need the preamble, you can pick up one of his sermons from last week. He spoke about the passage which Jesus was teaching about the challenges to be expected in discipleship. But with these words that we read, Jesus ends with words of encouragement before he sent his disciples out. He began with a promise that those who offered welcome to disciples would receive a reward, which must have been comforting for those being sent out to preach, something that was different than people already thought preaching was about. It meant that God would be with them as they depended on the hospitality or welcome of others. They were not alone. God was with them. But this passage is not really about how to earn God's reward. So we're not going to say anything more about the reward this morning. Instead, Jesus extended the teaching. He goes from those who welcome you, those who welcome the prophet, those who welcome the righteous, those who welcome a little one. Jesus emphasizes the importance of welcoming, the importance of caring for each other as a practice for the disciples, for individuals, and for community. No one is exempt. With these words, the disciples went out in mission to proclaim the kingdom of God. In so doing, they experienced God in meaningful ways as they accepted hospitality and as they extended hospitality. Matthew wrote this gospel about 30 years or so after Jesus' death. At that time, the church was trying to survive amid persecution. In that kind of climate, can you imagine what going around and being dependent on others for hospitality meant? It may have seemed foolish to be open to extend and depend on hospitalities with outsiders who may be those who are going to persecute you. But they saw this practice of hospitality as essential, and it was essential to the growth of the church and the growth of faith. Now, hospitality, as a word, was not new to the church. It was part of the culture of Judaism and the desert culture of the time. The Jews, as a desert people, had a long history of offering hospitality to strangers, friends, enemy, ally. For the desert culture, offering hospitality could be a matter of life or death. In the desert, a cup of cold water, even a cup of water, cold or not, often did mean life. The early church built on this practice, but they developed a practice of radical hospitality, in which those welcoming others were understood to be welcoming God. It went far beyond the usual guest list for social events to an everyday practice of welcome, welcome from the heart. It caused divisions because it went against what they thought was right. Jews had been taught from birth that they were not to eat with the uncircumcised, whether or not they offered them food. Foreigners and women and children were not allowed in the main sanctuary for worship. But that early church, led by Christ, responded to his teaching and offered welcome in unprecedented ways, in care for all, including strangers, as family. Not just of the acceptable, those like them, who believed like them, who acted like them, but radical acceptance of strangers, outcasts, religious others. They welcomed outsiders, those with different languages, those with many different needs, those who did not have a cup of water to offer in return. Whereas Jesus only sent his followers to teach in Israel, to Jews at first, after Jesus' death, the disciples understood a different call. In response to the Holy Spirit, they understood God's hospitality in new ways for all. The divisions of clean and unclean, male and female, Jew and Greek, rich and poor, famous and infamous were erased. All worshiped together, were accepted together, and were considered part of the family. This is radical hospitality. They did not just welcome people to their services, but cared for them as members of the family. Jews and Greeks, males and females, slaves and free. At the time, it was utterly shocking. The early church grew because of this practice, this type of hospitality, this type of inclusion, this radical welcome. They were one body. They were disciples making disciples, practicing God's way together, and they were richer for it. So how did we get to where we are today? How in God's name did we get to where we are? Although we like to think of ourselves as loving, welcoming people, a welcoming congregation, and we are by and large, in general, the Christian church does not have a good reputation, does not have a reputation for offering welcome. According to surveys, the Christian church is seen as cliquish, judgmental, full of people who can say nasty things, not just to outsiders, but to each other. I would like to argue and prove this to be untrue, but often there is more truth in this than I want to admit. As disciples of Christ together today, we are challenged to think more deeply about the practice of welcome and how we practice hospitality. Do we intentionally practice hospitality in equal response to how God's love has been poured out for us? We sit with a table set with symbolic foods, a baptismal font, and are reminded of God's welcome for us. And we are confronted with the truth that God accepts us as we are. That while we were deep in sin, Christ died for us so we might be forgiven before we could do anything. With grace so great that before we're able to respond to God, God opens his arms to us in welcome. In imitation of Christ, in response to who God is and how God accepts us, we are to practice that kind of welcome. The kind of welcome that Christ offers us. But many times we do fall short. Consider the following true life examples, and before I go through a couple of them, they're all true stories, but none of them are from here. You'll be relieved to know that after the first one. The first Sunday after moving to a new city, I went to a Presbyterian church recommended by my previous minister. I got my kids to the appropriate Sunday school classes. I found a seat on an empty pew right at the edge of the sanctuary. With the opening strains of Holy, 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 a woman's hand grasped my shoulder. She turned me to face her and said, "Get out of my seat." True. I left. It may not always be so obvious, but our practice of hospitality can be limited by our sense of entitlement. We don't make room for others in a pew, in our circle, in our hearts, lest we lose something. I think we have lost something. We've lost a sense that as we welcome others, we welcome God. Imagining welcoming God with, "Get out of my seat." What if the first disciples refused to accept outsiders as God accepted them? What if the early church didn't open themselves to change as God came to them in Gentiles, outsiders, the poor and lonely? Where would we be? Imagine the impact if instead of protecting her seat, that woman had offered words of welcome, sat beside a lonely stranger, and then introduced her to others after the service. I think both would have been richer. The practice of hospitality is not always comfortable. It may disturb and change us. So I wonder today, what might stand in our way of welcoming others as we think we would welcome God? Another true story. In a family-sized church in a poorer section of town, the congregation welcomes people at the door, invites newcomers to coffee afterwards. They're very good at that. A new couple started coming to services and felt very welcomed. They began to feel at home. Neither felt comfortable singing, but they were encouraged to come back week after week until one day they brought their spoons to worship with them. They played only during the hymns. On their way for coffee after service, they were taken aside and told this was no way to behave in church. They were a disgrace. It was unacceptable. They were asked to leave their spoons behind, or, and you can guess the rest. Sadly, they left. We never saw them again. Too often, welcome can be limited by how much newcomers are like us, how much they act like us, how they dress like us. In other words, we welcome people who we judge to be acceptable according to our standards. Our censorship may be more subtle. We define our borders differently, perhaps. We may not be so overt, but our welcome of those unlike us can be limited, can make things difficult for them. Imagine if the early disciples judged people that way. If the early church accepted only people who kept dietary laws, dressed like Jews, spoke the same language. We have been called to extend God's welcome to others. Imagine if God's love for us was limited by how much we were like God. What distorts and prevents us from a compassionate welcome and full inclusion of those who aren't like us? Is it our sense of rightness? What's proper? Our personal preferences? Our personal expectations? I wonder how this scenario could have played out differently. And I wonder what might stand in the way of accepting and including others as God accepts and includes us. Jesus assures his hearers that anyone who welcomes disciples welcomes both Jesus and the Father who sent him. By opening ourselves, our congregations, our hearts to others in God's name, we open our hearts more fully to God. Whether we are old or young, long-time disciples or seeker, rich or poor, as followers of Christ, we are to practice this type of radical hospitality. We are to practice inclusion. There are many sitting in churches this morning who are lonely, feel unwelcome, unrecognized. If you aren't offering welcome, who is? Another true story. Our family attended a new church that opened close to our home. The service was a little different from what we were used to, so at first we felt a little uncomfortable. But then a couple came and sat beside us and offered us a silent greeting in the middle of the service. They invited us to coffee and introduced us to others. Then they asked us home to share a can of soup for lunch, all five of us. The next day, they phoned to see if we were coming to church next, and they were waiting for us when we arrived in the door. During a family crisis that happened the next week, we were prayed for, cared for, reached out to as if we were part of the family. No, because we were part of the family already. Indeed, we were part of that family. We were welcomed. We were accepted. We were included. We belonged. I wonder what God waits to do in us and through us today. Imagine if we practiced this kind of welcome, not just Sundays, but every day. What might happen if we practiced hospitality and saw it as the opportunity to welcome God? Amen.